Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
We have been hearing for days, indeed weeks now, that ICUs are filling up and that it's critical for anyone who's not vaccinated to get a COVID jab. Last week, the Tánaiste that put those issues both together, saying that the unvaccinated are causing the problems in the health system. So, who exactly are the unvaccinated and what is being done to try to persuade them to get a vaccine? Well, the CSO published new statistics on Friday which raise questions, not necessarily about the people who are unvaccinated, but about the government and the HSE. These efforts to reach them. Primetime's Mark Coughlin spent the weekend looking at those numbers. He joins us now on the line. Mark, you're very welcome to the programme this evening. Can you tell us exactly what are the numbers and what did they tell us?
Sure, Sarah. Yeah, they're really interesting because for the first time they allow us to compare the unvaccinated in hospitals and in particular in ICUs with their vaccinated counterparts on the same wards. It's the first time the CSO released data in this way. And what comes out of it is that firstly, unvaccinated people in ICU skew younger. Their median age is 52, which is about 10 years below the median age for vaccinated people in ICU. Secondly, unvaccinated people are more likely to be there solely due to COVID. Nearly everyone who's vaccinated in ICU, 97%, had an underlying condition. 30% of unvaccinated people in ICU have no underlying conditions at all. And lastly, unvaccinated people in ICU are very disproportionately likely to have been born abroad.
So I think Mark's line has dropped there. Hopefully we'll be able to get him back on the line because it is definitely a topic that people are interested in. And indeed, people are getting concerned about the general trend of the virus. Joe had texted the programme a little earlier on to say that it seems to him, he said that the Irish government thinks that this virus has adopted a conscious, all of a sudden, and is prepared to spare the holy Irish for Christmas, and proper restrictions, he says, won't be necessary only in Ireland, despite the infection numbers going through the roof. If they continue going down the road they're on, well, you can all say goodbye to Christmas, he says. Our hospitals will be truly crippled if they don't act now. Joe says it is a shambles. And just on the antigen tests, as we're trying to get Mark back on the line, somebody said, actually, we have Mark back on the line, so I'll go to that texter in just a moment. But you were just saying, Mark, that of the unvaccinated people newly admitted to ICU in September and October, what did we find out about those?
Well, obviously, I don't know where the line dropped there, Sarah, but the key point that came out of it, there was three things. They were younger, they were more likely not to have an underlying condition if they were unvaccinated, and lastly, unvaccinated people in ICU very disproportionately likely to have been born abroad. So of the unvaccinated people newly admitted to ICU in September and October, half were born outside the country. In other words, half of the unvaccinated people in ICU are likely to have been migrants. So from previous CSO releases, we've known that migrants, especially migrants from Eastern Europe, are far less likely to have been vaccinated. Their vaccination rate is around 44%. And these stats indicate that those low vaccination rates are now having an impact in the hospitals and especially in the ICUs.
So with the numbers then showing that more than half of everyone in ICU is unvaccinated, and then we often hear, of course, that those unvaccinated ICU admissions are the ones that could have been avoided. Given all of those numbers, it leads you to think that if the vaccination rates in those communities where they are low, if those vaccination rates could be increased, it would have a really disproportionately big impact on the hospitals.
Exactly. And that's exactly the type of thing that doctors working here who are from those communities were saying to me. Their view is basically that the state hasn't tried hard enough to reach migrants in Ireland. But if they did, at least some more would take up the offer. And that could improve the overall pictures in hospitals and ICU. And even if they didn't get vaccinated, the doctors say, if they were reached with general public health messaging about the pandemic, it might help spread the virus. It might help stem the spread of the virus more generally. So Polish doctors, Romanian doctors, doctors working with migrants who I spoke to, they totally accept there's vaccine skepticism within many Eastern European countries. But they do think authorities here are not doing enough to try and counter it. Now, that's the picture I painted earlier was specifically about the ICUs. But when you look at the general hospital admissions, there does appear to be a disproportionate number of migrants there too. About 17% of the population was born outside Ireland. And remember, they're younger than the general population. But migrants appear to make up about a quarter of all hospitalizations. So about a quarter of all hospitalizations are among people born outside Ireland. Now, if you narrow that further to just 5% of the population being from Eastern Europe, if that's an even bigger disproportionate number. So if the 5% of the population from Eastern Europe are making up most of the people in hospital who are born abroad, it tells us something more about people from Eastern Europe and their level of vaccination and how important it is to increase that. Many of these are people with poor English. Many have no reason to be engaging with the health system here. So, look, trying to reach them isn't necessarily simple. But I suppose what the doctors were saying to me is whether we're trying hard enough to improve things is the key question. And their argument is it certainly isn't, and the whole health system is suffering for that lack of engagement.
So what exactly is the state trying to do then? Are they doing much at all to try and reach the unvaccinated migrants?
So when you speak to the HSC, for their part, they point to the fact, and it is a fact, that there's a lot of vaccine scepticism in Eastern Europe. They say it's not necessarily simple or easy to vaccinate loads more people from migrant communities. And that's almost certainly true. But they say they do provide material in more than 30 languages, that they've run multilingual radio ads on Irish community radio stations, that they've run print ads in Russian language, Polish language, Lithuanian language papers here, and that they're currently running an online campaign in various languages with targeted advertising about COVID-19 and public health messaging. Speaking to a spokesperson earlier, they say there's always improvements which can be made, but that their strategy to reach migrants is basically top of the class in Europe. He was saying it's an award-winning strategy at European level. But when I put this to the doctors from Eastern Europe, they said the strategy might be good, but the distribution of it doesn't seem to be working.
All right, really interesting. Thank you very much for joining us with that, Mark. And you can read the full piece on that topic on rte.ie/primetime. That is up on the website now if you want more details. Well, for more analysis really about the COVID pandemic in the migrant community, we're joined now by Dr. Catherine Clifford, who is a GP and co-founder of Translate Ireland, which produces multilingual video messages on topics such as health, education and immigrant services. And Catherine, you're welcome to the programme this evening. Perhaps you might start off by just telling us exactly where you're based and where your patients are from.
Hello there. I'm based in Fermoy in County Cork. So we're a small town, but our patients, one in four would be from outside of Ireland.
Okay, so I know you didn't hear all of what Mark had to say there, but I think you got the general gist of it and the figures pointing quite clearly to there being a problem in terms of the vaccination numbers among certain migrant communities, that it's much lower than what you see in the rest of the community. Do you think the HSE and NPHET and health authorities, government, are doing a good job of reaching people who may not have English as their first language?
I think it's a huge challenge, and it's been recognised from previous infectious diseases outbreaks that the challenge is to reach people who aren't necessarily engaged with mainstream media. The messaging needs to reach every corner of society, and I think that the particularly Eastern European people that I would be talking to would be listening to the home media, would be listening to information from Facebook, and not necessarily from RTE or from newspapers here.
So where do you aim the information then? Because as Mark was saying there, the HSE is saying that they do provide material in more than 30 languages. They're running print ads in Russian language newspapers, Polish language newspapers. They're running an online campaign, they say. You know, it does seem to be that they're trying to catch people where they're absorbing the information.
So I suppose it probably needs to be a whole of society rather than necessarily just healthcare solution, and we need to be looking at the influences within those societies. We need to be looking at employers, embassies, perhaps using healthcare workers more creatively who are from those countries living in Ireland. We've created videos in those languages, and that's trying to harness the use of the influence of those healthcare workers to the most efficient extent. But what we really need is really proactive sharing of that information to reach all of those people.
Do you think this is primarily a language issue, Catherine, or do you think it is a cultural issue? You know, does it matter what language you tell them in? If you're speaking in to migrants in their own language, maybe it's a message they still don't want to hear. Certain migrants, obviously.
I suppose that there are 90,000 people in the country who speak English either not well or not at all, and that's a challenge. But certainly there's a cultural side as well, and they're in general a young, fit population who might know their GPs less well because they don't necessarily have medical cards, they mightn't attend as frequently. So we have to just be really proactive and seize all those opportunities, keep on asking people. And I think most GPs are really proactive about that. They will be asking any person they come across who they might discover aren't vaccinated and take, willing, however busy we are, to take a few minutes to address those concerns. That's obviously more challenging than a second language.
Hmm. I know that last week or the week before, when there was talk about extending the use of the COVID-19 vaccine passport, there was discussion about requiring it in gyms and in salons. And as part of that discussion, some people were saying this would be a way to ensure that people who are unvaccinated might think twice about that. I don't know what you think of that as a strategy.
Yeah, possibly. It's hard, though, because I think that there's a mistrust of Big Pharma, and there's a big, and not necessarily as much trust or good relationship with the medical community. And I think if it's seen as coercion, that would be seen as negative. So I think that the emphasis on understandable, culturally appropriate information, and keep on explaining and keep on looking at the broader society benefits is the way to go.
How important is this in your view?
Huge. Every percentage of the population that's not vaccinated is having such a disproportionate impact on the hospital system, which has an impact on everything. So we need people to have accurate information they trust, and it needs to come from everywhere. They need to be immersed with the messaging that has happened in the English language to everybody else living here who is accessing mainstream media. And that has encouraged such a high percentage of vaccine uptake in Ireland.
It's interesting that you mentioned employers groups and embassies and, as you say, all of society sort of approach. How would employers groups, for example, get involved in this? How would you like to see them get involved?
I'd love to see employers encouraged to share the video messages we've produced, to have resources about the vaccine and even about COVID-19 in general. I think there's still a lot of misunderstanding that it's less severe illness than it really is in reality. So if employers who are well connected with their workforce, they have screens up in some factories, they have screens up where they've been playing messages, WhatsApp groups where they can share information, even down to the practical information about exactly where and how you get a free vaccine.
Okay, just finally then, Catherine, before I let you go, on a separate topic, the European Medicines Agency is poised to recommend COVID vaccination in the under-12s tomorrow. NIAC here will most likely assess this as they've done in the past when it comes to new recommendations, and then they'll make their own recommendation, no doubt, in the coming weeks. The Taoiseach talking about the possibility of rolling this out early next year. What do you think about it? And again, how do you communicate all of that to the different communities and their children?
Well, I've huge respect and trust in NIAC, and I'm hopeful that they will approve if they consider the vaccination safe, and I'd be really keen to vaccinate my own children. Again, the same strategies that I think we need to recognise that not everybody be accessing information from the same sources. To answer those questions, people want to do right by their children, and it's about giving them all the information to make a really well-informed decision, encourage them to look for information, but just make sure that that trusted information is in front of them first before they get information that's not accurate from other sources.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Dr. Catherine Clifford, a GP and also co-founder of Translate Ireland.